What does it mean to pray in accordance with God's will? And what can we expect when we pray for sinners? That's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us today, and happy Friday. We're almost to the weekend. And what a good subject to end the week on. Today we're going to have a discussion between Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar as we continue in our series of 1 John. We are right toward the end of this incredible series, and we've learned a lot. If you haven't had the opportunity to be with us throughout this series, that's okay. You can go back and listen to past episodes in this series and others through our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. You can also get that same podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. Well, let's jump right into our discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, thank you so much for tuning in. My name is Sean.
Hi, my name is Bob.
And we're about to wrap up our series on 1 John chapter 5. Last time we ended at verse 13, so that would logically mean that we now go to what
five,
verse,
Bob? 14.
14
through
comes
21
after 13.
If we make it.
I've been practicing counting with my kids, so I know that 14 follows 13.
Right.
And this is what he says. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us.
And so where he's going with this is ultimately anything we pray that's consistent with what God has commanded in his word, God is going to hear, and hearing basically refers to being favorably inclined.
Right.
And maybe we should read the next verse.
And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him.
So basically the idea would be, let's say that you want to love your wife as Christ loves the church, but you recognize that that's difficult. So you can regularly pray, Lord, cause me to love my wife as Christ loves the church. And we know God's going to hear that prayer, and he's going to answer that prayer because we're praying in accordance with his will. Some people think, well, Lord, give me $1 billion.
Yeah.
And they think if it's God's mystical will, then he's going to answer that. That's
right.
Not what it's talking about here.
Lord, I've been skimming off the top of work. Let me get away with it. That's not...
That's definitely contrary to his
will.
Yeah,
not only will he not answer that, apparently he won't even hear that,
right,
that kind of prayer.
Right, right.
So you got to pray in line with God's will. And the people who do that, are they spiritually immature or are they spiritually mature?
No, they're spiritually mature because they want what God wants. And ultimately, where he's going in this context is, what about the believer who is suffering? How do we pray for him? And that's what John's going to now.
Right. Okay. So we need to become spiritually mature so we have the mind of Christ so that we're going to be praying for biblical things.
What about if we notice a believer who's in sin, how do we pray for them?
So that's verse 16. If anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask and he will give him life for those who commit sin not leading to death. There is sin leading to death. I do not say that he should pray about that.
Now,
whoa, this one
is huge.
What is this?
Okay.
What is this all about?
Well, thank you, but we're out of time, Sean.
Okay. All right, so you see a guy, and he's sinning.
Right.
But there's two different types of sins here. There's a sin leading to death and a sin not leading to death. So what is this hell?
No, the death refers to premature physical death. Obviously, all of us, unless the rapture occurs in our lifetime, are going to die because we're all sinners, and the fact that we're sinners leads to our physical death. But what John is talking about here is a premature physical death. For example, Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira were lying about how much they had sold their land for and how much proceeds they were giving. And as a result, first Ananias drops dead, then his wife comes in and she drops dead. That was sin unto death. Nadab and Abihu in Leviticus chapter 10, they offer up strange fire.
Right.
And they're struck by God. Fire actually comes down and burns them
sure.
to death.
And all, basically, lots of Mosaic laws were like, if you commit
right.
this sin, you have to be stoned to death.
Right. And so, basically, what John is saying is, look, there is a sin that leads to death. I'm not asking you to pray for that. The problem is, and commentators recognize this, how do we know which sins are leading to death and which sins aren't leading to death.
Yeah, is he talking about like a believer being a gang member, a murderer, a drug dealer, someone who has obviously their actions might lead to an early death, physical death?
Right. Now, I would think, yes, in cases like that, we could be praying for the person to repent. We could be praying for the person to turn away. But ultimately, we can't pray for God to spare their life while they're still in that situation.
I wonder if that's because, in that case, that prayer would be saying, let them get away with this.
Right. That's a good point. But on the other hand, there are sins of ignorance, sins which are not intentional. Mm-hmm. They're sins where you're not, you know, rebelling against God. What I mean is, don't we oftentimes sin out of ignorance? In other words, it's not that we've decided, you know what, I know God says I'm not to commit immorality, but I'm going to go commit immorality because I think this will be fun and I'm going to do this. That would be actual rebellion. But a sin that's not rebellion would be, I'm driving along, somebody cuts me off, and a cuss word just pops out of my mouth.
Right.
Well, I don't think it really can just pop out of your mouth. It's like you haven't really willed it into existence, but it's in your heart, and somehow you cuss at this person.
Sure.
Right?
Or you just get angry. That in itself, right?
Yeah, especially if it's an outburst of anger. Anger itself is not sin, but an outburst of anger is, or if the anger grows to the point that it leads to an outburst. Those are not necessarily rebellion against God. Oftentimes, those are simply something which we do, which springs from the, some people call it the old sin nature. And so when you see this brother that's involved in some sin, well, we can pray for God to spare them, and we should pray for God to spare them, especially if, let's say, we recognize they are on what we might call thin ice.
Right.
Maybe we see a believer who drank too much on Saturday night out with his wife, and he said some things he shouldn't have said. He was drunk in public, etc. Well, all of those things are bad, right? And so I think the point here is we're to pray for people who are sinning a sin not unto death.
Yeah, okay. Verse 17, all unrighteousness is sin. Okay, so we're not saying these little things are not sin.
Right.
He continues, and there is sin not leading to death, but there are differences, different degrees.
And he doesn't mean not leading to eventual death. He means not leading to immediate premature death.
I mean, me getting upset at my kids not cleaning their room is sin, but it's not like I'm selling drugs on the street and shooting other drug dealers. And,
right.
And, you know.
And it may not even be sin. I mean, what you described doesn't sound like
sin to me. That was
righteous. Okay.
That was probably a lot of righteous anger there. But
yeah, right.
Verse 18, we know that whoever is born of God does not sin. Ooh, that's going to take a comment.
Yeah.
But he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. Okay, so what does that mean? Because he just said in the very first chapter that we're deceiving ourselves if we don't sin.
Right.
So on the one hand, John is saying we all sin and you're deceiving yourself and a liar if you say you don't have any sin. But on here he says, we know that whoever is born of God does not sin. So how do you
okay, this is just like 1 John 3:9. No one who is born of God sins. And this verse is saying the same thing. And when John uses the expression, the one who is born of God, sometimes he uses it to refer to the inner person.
Right.
And basically, John's vision is this. And Paul has the same idea, by the way, in Romans, where he talks about our mortal bodies and that our mortal bodies can't convey the righteousness of God without the Spirit of God energizing them and bringing the resurrection of power of Christ through them. Well, here, what John is envisioning is our inner self is sinless.
Right.
Our inner self is holy.
That's that born-again part of
you. The born-again
part.
The
new man.
The new man. If we live consistent with that, then we live righteously. But if we live consistent with the old man, we live consistent with the mortal body, then we're rebelling and we're sinning. And so what he's saying here is, whoever is born of God does not sin. That is, our new nature doesn't sin. But he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. That is, the wicked one is never getting at the inner you. Is never touching the born of God part of you.
Right.
He can touch your mortal flesh, but that's it.
Right. He can afflict your body. He can tempt your fleshly
right.
desires. But your inner man, he's born again
right.
and dwelt by the Spirit.
Right.
This is all Romans 7, by the way, people. If you want to go read Romans 6 to Romans 8, especially in Romans 7, Paul has the struggle.
Here's the other thing. We talked today about identity politics, right? Mm-hmm. And people identify with this group or that group, and we, you know, we need to... Well, I don't even understand fully what identity politics is, so I better not start discussing it. But the same thing applies in theology, that we need to have our proper mindset as to who we are in Christ.
Right.
Our identity should be, I am a holy person.
Right.
I am sinless at the core of my being, and that should manifest itself in my behavior. Now, I recognize that, you know, I'm a worm, I'm a wretch, I'm all these things in terms of my practice, but in terms of my inner self, I am that way, and that impacts my practice if I recognize who I am.
And these last three verses, I think, echo that.
Yes.
We know that we are of God, that's our identity, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, in His Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life.
Yeah, notice he calls Jesus God here.
Interesting, interesting.
And eternal life.
Little children, keep yourselves from idols. If you understand who you are in Christ, born again, given eternal life, assured of his presence within you, if you know that you're abiding in him and in fellowship with him, that is the position from which you can keep yourselves from idols and untouched by the evil of this world. If you want to find out more about this subject, go to faithalone.org and buy the full commentary on 1 John by Zane Hodges. It's called The Epistles of John, Walking in the Light. See you next time.
Well, thank you, Dr. Bob and Sean, for that great discussion. If you're like me, there were some verses in today's passage that were a little confusing, but Sean and Bob made it seem so simple. If you like this style of Bible teaching, then you will love what's on our website. Our website is faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. The website is packed with resources that are designed to help you understand the Bible. We got all kinds of resources. For instance, right now, we have a featured resource, which is called The Epistles of John. It is a great companion for this series because it teaches through the epistles. It's written by the late Zane Hodges, a fantastic Bible commentator. He makes it simple to understand. You can get that free ebook by going to the website and downloading it right now. In addition to this, we have a free print magazine. It's full color, beautifully laid out, and it covers topics similar to what we talk about on the show. All you have to do to get it is subscribe. It costs you nothing. In fact, it's paid for by the generous donations of our financial partners. In addition to the magazine, we've got teaching videos, podcasts, and blog posts. We've got tens of thousands of people to come and visit our website monthly. I hope that you'll be one of them this month. Maybe you'd like to reach out to us. You can do that by sending us a note. radio@faithalone.org is our email. radio@faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Next time on the broadcast, we're going to cover 2 John, so tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.